Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and it says this. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. I'm going to read this one more time. Simon, Simon, which is another, if you're new to the Bible, Simon and Peter are the same person. Okay, his original name was Simon, but then Jesus came, and when he declared his destiny, he gave him a different name. Are you thankful God changes your name, changes your direction, changes your path of life? So his name was Simon, but Jesus said, I'm going to call you Peter, but he would use it interchangeably. And so he says, Simon, Satan, the devil, the prince and the power of the air. There is a real enemy of our souls, and his name is Satan. He's the devil. He is the reigning power currently over the earth. Now, he's got a lease. He's not the owner. Are you praising God for that? Okay. Jesus owns the earth. Satan has a dominion here for a time. And the kingdom of God, Christians are here, and by God's grace, we are pushing back the kingdom of darkness. So this leader, Satan, who was an angel in heaven, had fallen and now had a whole host of demons. He said he's asked to sift you. We say sift. It's a word. It's when you went in there, maybe you didn't say, I got some of these scrambled eggs. I want to sift some of the eggs. It's not a word we use every day. We'll talk about that in a minute. Has sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon. Jesus is praying for us. You know, Jesus is praying for you this morning. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Pray for us. That your faith may not fail. And he says this thing, when you've turned back, which means that he was going to turn away. Jesus was telling him, Peter, you're going to turn away from me. You're going to backslide. You're going to run away, Peter. You're going to go through some tough times. You're going to leave the church. You're going to leave the fellowship. You're going to leave Christians. You're going to leave your faith. You're going to move on. He says, when you have turned back after the trial, after the battle, after the struggle, strengthen your brothers. And so we just prayed. So I'm going to jump right into to the word today. The title of the message today is Stay in the Fight. Your brothers need you. Stay in the fight because your brothers need you. There was one of the greatest leaders of history. His name is Winston Churchill. Many of you know him. He was the leader of Great Britain during World War II. And he had some serious failures before he had one of his greatest hours. He had failed miserably. And he was in a place of real despair. And he was able, in the midst of the fight, to recognize that he's fighting for something greater than his own comfort. And he's fighting for something greater than himself. Today, I'm going to walk through the scriptures with you. I'm going to walk through three quick points to encourage you to stay in the fight. Some of you are in the fight. Some of you are in the fight of the kingdom. Some of you are fighting all the wrong battles, actually, though. Some of you are spending all of your energy potentially fighting things that God's like, I want to reposition your energy. God has made us as men. He's made us as warriors. He's put a fighting spirit in us. And even living in this city, which is one of the most violent cities in America, and many of you have grown up in very volatile situations. And you have one of the things that the gangs on the streets recognize is that, you know what? Every young boy wants to fight. Because every young boy and every man was created to fight for something. And the devil knows. If he could just reposition them into a place where they're distracted and they're fighting all the wrong battles, they will not threaten his kingdom. And so today, I want to walk through these passages. I want to walk through this passage, and then we're going to pray together at the end. But before I get into it, if you put the scripture back up there for me real quickly, you'll see here where it talks about Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you all as wheat. I want to just set that up. What does it mean to sift? Well, sifting is, I got a couple pictures here. One is historically this idea of having wheat, and isn't that guy so happy? Doesn't he look so happy sifting that wheat? You know, when they're harvesting the wheat, there's this contraption, which if you go to the next picture, you'll see it a little bit clearer, where it shakes in such a way that it separates out lumps or large or the large pieces from the smaller pieces to get the chaff out so that they can actually eat the wheat. And if you're gluten-free, I'm sorry, okay? It's just being able to sift it and to separate. It's a separation of things. But what's amazing here is that Jesus said, Satan doesn't want to just sift some of you. He wants to sift all of you. And Jesus is giving them a heads up. And for some of you here this morning, this is a heads up message from the Holy Spirit. Because there's nothing, the devil doesn't, he loves the fact that he brings a trial, a temptation, a battle to you, and then he condemns you for being in the very battle that you're in. And so this is a heads up. This is a beware. And that's real quickly what sifting is. But for us today, as we look at this passage, you know, any farmers in the house? I love farmers. Any farmers? Maybe one? Zero. Zero. Anyone ever used to be a farmer? Hey, come on. Let's give it up for the farmers. We got two farmers back here. Praise God. The rest of us ate all of the farmer's produce today. Okay? We took care of business on the farmer's produce. So this word sift and this agricultural word is not very common to us. But for our purposes this morning, here's a definition I want you to recognize, and it's this. It's pressurized sifting circumstances. Pressurized sifting circumstances. So I want you to imagine Jesus saying, John, Peter, you know, Jack, Satan has asked to put you under pressurized sifting circumstances. He's asked to put you into situations that create so much pressure that it's going to tempt you to quit. It's going to tempt you to throw in the towel. And that's the first point of the message today, is Satan's agenda is to pressure us into quitting. That's his agenda. One of his focuses is to take the men of God and to pressure us into throwing out the towel. I think we've got a slide for that, so I want to say it again. Satan's agenda is to pressure us into quitting. Nobody likes to quit. Nobody likes to throw in the towel. No one likes to give up. And as men, that is one of the places of attack that the enemy is trying to constantly do. He's trying to put you under a certain pressure. You may be here today, and you might be under a certain kind of relational pressure. Maybe it's a relationship with your spouse. Maybe it's a relationship with your children. Maybe it's a relationship with a brother, a sister, a family member. And you're on a thread of just throwing in the towel and saying, I can't do this anymore. I can't. In Peter's situation, Jesus was arrested and he was taken away, and they went up to Peter and said, Peter, he denied Jesus three times. Aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? And Peter said, I don't know that man. He denied him once. And they said, no, surely, you're one of Jesus' guys. You've been with him. He says, I don't know Jesus. And then a third time, hey, you're one of Jesus' followers. He says, I don't want to have anything to do with that man. And he actually cursed God himself. And maybe God brought you here. I believe some of you today have an appointment with God. The Lord put this on my heart months ago for this date, on this time, on February 13th. And some of you here today, have run away from the Lord and you have quit the Lord, or you've been tempted to quit. If one of the greatest Christians in the New Testament quit and you're here today, I want to encourage you. You may have quit the game. You might be on the sidelines. You say, I can't do this God thing. I'm not serving him with my whole heart. You don't understand. I can't. It's too hard. I want to let you know that Jesus' hand is reaching out to you this morning. He's ready to get you right back in the fight. You may say, oh, Pastor Matt, I've been gone for 10 years. I don't care if you've been gone for 75 years. All it takes is one moment to say, Jesus, I want to be back in the game. Jesus, I'm ready to get back. Jesus, I need your help. Forgive me. Help me, Lord. Lord, take me back. Receive me. That's what's amazing about New Testament Christianity. You don't have to go out and hit yourself on the back 100 times or pay some sort of penance. Jesus Christ already paid the cost for your backslidden activity. He died on the cross and he shed his blood. And he said, listen, I died for your sins yesterday, today, and I died for the sins that you're going to commit tomorrow. So come back to me today. The heart of the Father, he's crying out to you as his son and saying, come back, don't quit. You may have put down everything that I have, and you said, I can't do it anymore. And you know, in a lot of ways, God understands. Do you think Jesus, when he was talking to Simon, was like, you know, condemning him? No. Jesus knew it. And by the way, if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, or maybe you've been in church before, but you're disillusioned by the church. Maybe you got hurt by somebody. Maybe you were under a circumstance that put so much pressure on you that says, I can't be in this thing anymore, and you moved on. And you said, I can't do it. And you know, a lot of times, men, this is the universal sign. You know, men just have this idea. It's like, you know, it's like when you're watching the Chicago Bears. No, you're just like, I can't. Sorry, that might have got us out of the spirit there. Okay, but it's the universal sign for, I can't do it anymore. You know, God, this woman that you put me with, these children, this job, this church, these leaders, my finances, everything, whatever it might be, you can say, I can't do this anymore. You might be battling something even deeper. You might be battling some deep, deep, deep pain. And you said, I can't take the pressure anymore. I've quit. And one of the reasons, sometimes men, they don't want to quit, but they've moved on because they said, you don't understand, God. I can't deal with that anymore. Satan has sifted me too much. He's put me in a pressure cooker. And what the devil will do when you're under pressure, the devil will then come and he will accuse you and say, look at you. You're not a good Christian. Look at all the thoughts that you're having about giving up. Look at those thoughts you have about, you know, you think you're reading your Bible. You're not a good man of God. You're never going to be a man of God. Your daddy wasn't a man of God. You'll never figure out how that is. That's not in you. But can I tell you, the moment you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, he's in you. And you have everything that you need to be all that God has called you to be, because as none of us were born, we were all born into sin, we were all born into a broken world, but the reason Jesus Christ came was so that we could be with him. Peter, the devil has come and he's asked to put you under some pressure, to put you under some pressure so that you will quit, to pressure you into saying, you know what? This isn't worth it.
Oh.
Amen. The devil is a liar. And you know what's amazing? You know what, a little side note about this? It says this. It says, Simon, Satan has asked. Everyone say, has asked. You know what that tells you? It tells you that the devil can't touch you without God's permission. Okay, your perspective of spiritual warfare is very important when it comes to being a man of God. Because it's not like some ambush kind of thing that the devil surprises God because he's messing with you. He has to go before God and say, you know that guy down there over in Logan Square? Yeah, that Christian, he's like the only one in his house, or that, you know, that husband, you know, Jason or John, you know, that your son, God, you know, I wanna tempt him. I want to put him under some pressure. If you don't believe, go look in the book of Job. It happened. Satan came up to God and he said, God, you got this man named Job. I can't touch him because he's surrounded. You've got a hedge of protection around him. But the Lord said, okay, I'm going to let you go through that. Now the question is, why is God going to allow you to go through pressurized circumstances? Why would a good father allow his son to be attacked? Why would a wonderful, loving father allow the child that he loves to be attacked? Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's not that he has no desire to cause you harm. But he does it because he wants us to grow and to become strong. And there's only certain ways to become strong in the Lord. There's only certain ways to learn how to fight. You want to know the only ways to learn how to fight? Is again to fight the right way. Brother's gonna start boxing right now. Get him. Come on. Get back. But it's true. It's true. When we went into the Middle East after 9/11, one of the things, the challenges that we were having, I was reading a book. It's called Extreme Ownership, very good leadership book about Navy SEALs and all this, that. And the guy said we had a real problem because we hadn't been in a real war for about 20 years. And so we're facing an enemy who's very elusive, and we have all of these, we actually have had generations of leaders not just the soldiers. We had lieutenants and colonels and some generals who had never really even seen real combat. And so now all of a sudden, the Twin Towers collapse. We're thrust into this war like that, and we realized how unprepared we really were. And we had all the knowledge, and we actually had a lot of training. And millions of dollars of training. But we hadn't really seen that type of conflict until we were thrust into it. And in the kingdom, God has great tasks for you as men of God. He has some. It's not just for leaders and pastors. Every man of God, God has a place of incredible influence and has something for you to do in a way that you can't even imagine, but he's preparing you. And the way he's going to teach you is he's got to get you in the fight. He's got to get you in the fight. And so that's one of the ways that he does this. So here's the thing. First point is this, is that Satan's agenda is to pressure us into quitting. But then here's what Jesus' response. Jesus' response is to fight for our faith. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. A lot of times people say, hey, Pastor, can you pray for me? I'm like, I'd love to pray for you. But guess what? Jesus is praying for you every day. Remember, there's an intercessor that's greater than me. He stands day and night by the throne of God, praying and asking and defending. Now, you might say, well, what is Jesus praying for? So, how are you going to stay in the fight? Well, pressurized circumstances are going to come, and God's response, it's important for you and I to know what's going on in heaven. You want to know one of the reasons why we have the Bible and why we must be men of the Word? Do not draw your conclusions by what you see. Do not draw your conclusions by what is around you, what you see in the media, what you hear on television, what you hear on the radio, what you read in the papers. That is not the way to live. We must live by what the Word of God says. If you believe that, say amen. Okay, that's why we must be men of the Word. Men of God who are full of the Word of God will be able to resist the schemes of the enemy. If the people in our lives are coworkers, family, friend members, they know we're believers. And I hope that if they don't, God willing, after today, they will, okay? And the idea is they're going to come to you when they got a problem. And listen, they don't want to hear what you think, even if they say, hey, what do you think? Really, they want to know what God thinks. And actually, they may say, you say, well, what I think really doesn't matter. Can I tell you what God says? And you begin to say, here's what God says. So, it's important when you're under attack, you got to be able to explain and you have to be able to understand what is going on and what's happening. When we are being attacked and the devil is attacking us, Jesus is praying for us, but brothers, he's praying very specifically. You want to know what he's not praying for? He's not praying for us to be comfortable. He's really not. He's not saying, okay, my son is in a fight for his life. He's fighting for his marriage. He's fighting for his children. He's fighting for his destiny. He's fighting for his heart. He's fighting this addiction. He's fighting generations of baggage in his life. Okay, I'm going to pray that he's just incredibly comfortable. I'm going to pray that he can just hit it on cruise control. No, the Bible says very specifically. But by the way, God doesn't pray for our comfort even though he is a God of comfort, okay? The Bible says his narrow focus is that he's going to pray for our faith. He said, Peter, 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 guess what? The devil's attacking. He's going to pressure you to get out of the fight, and you're going to even get out of the fight for a little bit. And sometimes the best of Christians get out of the fight for a day, a week, a month, a year. It happens to everybody. And sometimes you can be out of the fight even though your body's in the fight, but your spirit could be way gone. You might be showing up on your post, but your heart is 1,000 miles away. So anyway, so what he's saying is this. What he's saying, he's saying this. I'm going to pray for one thing specifically, and it's that your faith would not fail. It's the faith is like the center. It's the heart of our weaponry. It's the very core. It's the very core. And one of my cousin is in the Navy, and he's a nuclear engineer. So he's on the submarines, and he guards the reactor. So he's with them. There's Marines there, and he takes care of the reactor because, you know, these submarines and all these aircraft carriers, they can be out there for years at a time because they don't need to refuel. It's not like your traditional kind of thing. And so he guards it, and he talks about all the time. If the reactor goes down, this whole thing goes down. The reactor is the core of that battleship, is the core of that submarine. Faith is the core of who we are as Christians. It's the substance of everything that we stand on. If we stop believing that God can do miracles, we will be out of the game. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. So you hear that. And if we don't believe that, the devil has the upper hand. Because Jesus is saying, Peter, I am praying for your faith. If you're in the battle today, you're fighting for your life. You've already, maybe you're out of the battle. Maybe you're in the battle. You're going to go into the battle. I want to encourage you. Jesus is praying that your faith would not fail. He's praying that your faith would not fail. And you may say, Pastor Matt, it already has. Well, today, you can come back to the Lord. You can come to the Lord and say, God, I need you to strengthen my faith today. God, I don't want to cave under the pressure. I don't want to give in under the pressure, Lord. God, if I do that, Lord, there's a lot of things at stake. And that leads me to my next point, which I think is, which is the band can come up. We're gonna pray together here in a minute. The last point is that the reason why we need to stay in the fight, we need to be encouraged that Jesus is praying that our faith wouldn't fail. The reason why it is so important is because once we're through it, because you will get through it. If you believe that you're going to get through the battle you're in, say amen. Amen. Okay, that was really good. But if you believe that every time you go into a battle, God is going to see you through, say amen. Amen. He's going to do it. Now, it may not be on our timetable. It may not be on your three-week strategy, okay? You may say, Lord, this is not in my plans to be going through this right now, Lord. I planned on my year, and it wasn't in the calendar, Lord. That's not how it works, okay? But once you get through it, and by the way, the reason why we have to stay in the fight is because of this, is because that our mission, once we are through, is to strengthen our brothers. This is the mission. This is one of the reasons why you cannot give up. If you're tempted to give up today, your brothers need you. You have to recognize that you're not just fighting for yourself. You're not just, it's not just about your battle. One of the tactics of the enemy, and of any enemy in any warfare, is to isolate. Because if he can isolate you into thinking that it's all you, it's all by yourself, no one else on the entire planet of 7 billion people has ever had this problem before, then he can win. And it's important for you to have the long-term perspective that your battle is not just for you. All the pain that you've gone through, the heartache, the trouble, the discouragement, there are people that are going to be able to be blessed because of your battle. They will be blessed because of your battle, but they won't be if you give up. Now, Peter quit. He quit three times. And you know what's amazing? When Jesus rose from the dead, you can go back and read it. He rose from the grave, and he told I think it was Mary or one of the other ladies. He said, go tell them that I'm alive, and tell Peter. God specifically saying, oh yeah, and tell Peter. Tell Peter that I'm alive. Tell Peter that I'm ready. If you're here today and you feel that you've just failed in your faith or you've given up, Jesus Christ is standing by ready to get you back in the fight. He is an expert at taking failure and turning it into fighting. He's an expert at taking failure and turning it into fighting. Now you may say, Pastor Matt, the reason I left or the reason why I'm discouraged or the reason why I may not be strong, it's not because I necessarily failed. It just was too much. And Jesus, God understands. He is a loving Father. He's not like that football. Any guys play sports? Handful of guys play sports? Yeah, great. Some of us play, yeah. Or how many of us ever been to school in our life? Show of hands. Okay. There's same thing. Goes with sports and school. Same thing. It's not like that teacher or that coach that when you fail gets up in your face and starts screaming at you. You know, it's not like, God is not like Bobby Knight, okay? Okay. The Lord didn't like that. Okay, it don't put that on the internet or anything. It just okay. So the point is this: is that God is not like that. When you fail, he doesn't get all up in your face and start screaming at you, "You good for nothing. You're never going to amount to anything. My grandma can run faster than you," and whatever, whatever, you know. "I got a third grader that knew how to do that math problem. You're in ninth grade. You should know that." You know, failure, 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 failure. God doesn't speak the language of failure. He speaks the language of faith. And he speaks the language of love. The devil is the one who will speak the language of failure. "You no good this, you no good that." You, and then he digs a hole, digs a hole, digs a hole. No, you got to push yourself out of the hole, because you're going to be able to then turn and strengthen and encourage your brothers. That's one of the most amazing, amazing things that God wants to do. Because sometimes you could be so overwhelmed with your responsibility, and you could be so overwhelmed with your circumstances, that you can miss the opportunity for a God moment with one of your brothers, with your wife, with your children, with those in your life. As men of God, we are responsible. Can we say responsible? We are responsible to turn and to serve others into greatness. It is our responsibility not just to fight our battles, but to help other people fight theirs. It is a mandate from heaven that the men of God are able to not just fight their battle, praise God, but are able to press in and say, "I'm going to stand and I'm going to help my brother with his problem. I'm going to stand in the gap. And even though I've got my battles, God's going to take care of my battles. But I need to be able to get out of my orbit to help and to reach out." In CNN this morning, there's a news story that really, I think, illustrates this so well. There's a refueling plane called the KC-135. It looks like this. You guys may have seen it. Well, that's not it. Looks like this. You guys ever seen this before? Okay, they do mid-air refueling. So during these military operations, a lot of times the F-16s, like that's, I believe it's an F-16, they'll fly and they don't have enough fuel, so a plane has to come and refuel them so they can land. Now, there happened to be, about a year ago, an F-16 that was one of part of the coalition that's fighting ISIS. And the pilot was running out of fuel. And he was over ISIS-controlled territory. Now, a few months before that, a Jordanian pilot, unfortunately, crashed, and they executed him. They burned him alive in a cage. And so now this pilot, imagine yourself this pilot, you know, you're sitting there, and you look at that fuel gauge, and it's on E, and you can't land, and if you eject, you're probably going to get captured. And he was in a problem, so he calls for help. And I want to read real quickly what happened. So, I'm going to pull it up here. It says, an F-16 pilot was nearly forced to eject from his aircraft over ISIS territory due to a fuel emergency last year. The KC-135 Stratotanker was linked up with a group of A-10 Thunderbolts in support of a U.S. coalition. So this plane, the refueler, was on a totally different mission. A totally different mission that he was responsible to support a whole different group of people. So imagine your family, for example. He had other responsibilities to take care of. This tanker. The KC-130, it was linked up to this group. And when they were approached by an F-16, part of the coalition, we don't know from what country, might have been France or England, we don't know. It said that they were in trouble. And so they went and they attempted to refuel the F-16. The first sign of trouble occurred when the F-16 attempted to refuel but was forced to disconnect after taking only in 500 pounds of fuel, which an amount which fell significantly short of the 2,500 pounds the tanker expected. So barely got a quarter tank. After a second failed refueling attempt, the F-16 pilot ran through his checklist and he alerted the tanker crew that he was experiencing a fuel emergency. Over 80% of his total fuel capacity was trapped and unusable. So they tried to refill it, and some glitch happened that the fuel was not making its way into the engine, and a malfunction that would have forced the pilot to eject from his aircraft, and he could only fly up to 15 minutes of fuel at a time. 15 minutes of fuel at a time. So instead of leaving the pilot to fend for himself, the tanker crew made a decision to diverge from its area of responsibility and safely escorted the F-16 to its base while refueling every 15 minutes on the way to Allied airspace. So left All, and you know, these guys' careers might have been on the line. You know, every in the news now, everyone's celebrating as a hero a year later. But you have no idea. They said, listen, these guys are okay. We've got to go help this guy, even though we're responsible for these other seven planes. And they went out of their way, and they stuck with that F-16 pilot for every 15 minutes they had to refuel them. Every 15 minutes it was refueling, refueling, refueling. Ralph, come up here. Every 15 minutes. So brothers, here's what it needs to look like in our lives. This is my brother Ralph. Give Ralph a hand. I love this guy. He's great. So, let's say I'm going through a challenge. Come over here. Let's say I'm going through a hard time. What Ralph is supposed to do is come over to me and strengthen my faith. And so he might pray for me. He might give me a word of encouragement. He might just be around me and say, brother, God, can I pray for you? Okay, so that's good. But then he's not supposed to just leave and then go away. So I go over here, and now on Thursday, I'm just way incredibly discouraged again. So now Ralph is supposed to come, and he's supposed to say, brother, you're not out of the woods yet, are you? I said, no, you don't get it. I'm not out of the woods, man. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through. I feel like I got to give up, man. This is too much. These circumstances, I just can't handle it. Ralph isn't supposed to just leave and say, well, okay, call the pastors, okay, or say, hey, you know, go on, you know, find something else. No. He's supposed to encourage my faith, strengthen, strengthen, strengthen. Okay, so then I'm over here. I'm discouraged again. I haven't quite made it to my destination. And he's supposed to come and say, no, listen, let me encourage you, brother. Strengthen, strengthen, strengthen. And then my destination, and I'm finally over here. And he's like, brother, you out of the woods yet? He's like, man, I'm almost there. Man, God, I'm starting to see signs of God doing a miracle. He's about to do something, and he's gonna see me. And then I know you would never do this, but just go ahead and push me over here real quickly. So he's supposed to push me, okay, and propel me into freedom and into the promise. Let's give Ralph a big hand. Thank you, brother. Okay. Now, that is what strengthening your brother means. We live in a society that is hurry up, instant, and, you know, transfer and get on your way and go about your own stuff and go about your own life. It should not be so in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you a quick story, and then we're going to close. Powerful, 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 powerful story. So one of them is we got a brother. His name's Milton. Milton, where are you? Where brother Milton? He's over here. He's back over there. Brother Milton, give him a hand. Let's honor our brother. Amazing. Really loves the Lord. So Milton came up to me. He said, Pastor Matt, I got a faith challenge. My mom in Puerto Rico is really ill. She's having kidney problems, and there's different things going on. He didn't come up to me, but he was telling me the story. He was telling me this is what happened. So you know what he did? He went to some of the brothers on his team that he serves with. By the way, that's why I encourage, when you serve in a ministry, one of the reasons, we don't just serve the church, but we serve each other. So once his brother said, God, my mom's got this problem. I'm having a faith challenge. I'm having a faith crisis. And you know, the devil's probably saying all sorts of stuff to him. Your mom, there's nothing you can do for her. This isn't going to happen. Just give it up. There's nothing. But he's like, no. And he began to pray. And the brothers, they got around him and they prayed. And they said, bro, God's going to do a miracle. God, would you help Milton? Give him the words. Give him the wisdom. Give him encouragement. God, heal his mom. Lord, his mom didn't know Jesus. He said, God, help his mom come to know you because she's at the end of her life and we want her to spend eternity with you. And so they prayed for him. So then Milton goes. He goes to Puerto Rico. He's down there. A series of events starts to happen. And he has an open door and an opportunity. And he's remembered his brothers surrounding him and strengthening him. And he begins to tell his mom, Ma, can I tell you about Jesus? And he shares the Lord with his mother. How old is your mom? 79 years old. Shares the Lord with his mother. And right there in her room, his mom gave her heart to Jesus Christ. Come on, let's praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't think she's totally healed yet, right? But she's on the way. We're going to believe. But the most important thing, God healed her spirit and healed her soul. Okay, so what would have happened if his brothers didn't strengthen him and didn't turn? I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't have had the encouragement and the faith to go about that. Another brother was told me this morning, he said, Pastor Matt, he said, you have no idea. It was right before Christmas. I was in the back of the sanctuary through a variety of circumstances. I had $37 to my name. He said, I was so discouraged. I was under so much pressure. I'm like, how am I going to provide for my family for Christmas? I got kids. How am I going to be able to have Christmas with my children? And guys, you've all felt that pressure of responsibility of like, what am I going to do here? And he was on post. He's one of our ushers. He was serving. He was here on a Sunday. He was reaching out to God. I remember seeing him was reaching out to God that day. I didn't know the situation. He was struggling. And one of our leaders at the altar call went up to him, and it was a message about faith, and started to pray that God would encourage him. The Holy Spirit led one of our leaders to pray for him. God, encourage him, strengthen him. God, I don't know what my brother's going through, but help him, help him, help him, help him. And you know what that does for a guy who's in a battle that knows that somebody else is going to get around him and say, you're not alone, you can do it. There is a God who's faithful. I know that you love God, but people who love God struggle too. And he was encouraging him and praying over him. And then he told me the testimony today. He said, you wouldn't believe what happened. He said, I left church, and I was like, my heart was full of faith. The devil had been attacking, but I was encouraged and strengthened. 2 days later, my wife called and said, you wouldn't believe it. She said, so what? So you got a check in the mail. He said, a check from who? No one sends me checks. You know. And then he opened it up. She said, of all people, we got a check from the mortgage company. And they said, hey, we owe you money. And they gave him over $700. I said, you know it's God when the mortgage company's sending you money back. You know, let's praise God for that miracle. Hallelujah. So it's for people it's for people's eternity. It's for your eternity. It's for spiritual issues, financial issues, relational issues. There's story after story after story. And my brothers, today, God wants you to, first of all, maybe you're in a jam and you're out of the fight. He wants to get you back in the fight. You say, Pastor, man, I'm ready to get back in the fight. He wants to put you right back. You know, all you have to do is ask him. Let's stand to our feet for a second. Everyone, stand to your feet. Close your eyes. All eyes closed around the sanctuary today. Nobody moving, just for a couple moments. We'll be dismissed here just in a short bit. With all eyes closed in the presence of the Lord. As the word of God has been presented to you this morning, and as you've been under the hearing of the word of God, I want to give a specific invitation. You might be here today, and you would say, you know, Pastor Matt, I know about God, but I've been running from God. I've been running from him. I'm away from the Lord. And you know what? I want to come back home and I want Jesus to be the center of my life once again. And for whatever reason, maybe you just got angry at the Lord and you ran away. Maybe you got hurt. Maybe you just got discouraged. Maybe you just got distracted and you said, I can't do this. Sometimes the devil, it's not a big thing. It's a series of small things. It's 1 week, leads to 2 weeks, leads to a month, and before you know it, you've drifted far from the Lord. You've drifted far from the Lord. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor Matt, I've drifted far from the Lord. We're brothers here today. We've all had problems and challenges in our life. There is nothing to be ashamed of. You won't be in a safer, more supporting environment than what we have here this morning. And you would say, I want to get back in the fight today. And I want to ask the Lord Jesus to come and to reign on my life afresh and anew. It might not be anybody, but there might be one, there might be five, there might be seven or eight. And you would say, Pastor Matt, I want to have my brothers surround me, and I want to say, Jesus, I want to make you the center again. You might feel like Peter, who denied the Lord and walked away, and all it took was Peter to fall at Jesus' feet one more time and come back to him. And if you're here today, regardless of where you find yourself, and you would say, that's me. I want to ask Jesus if I can get back in the game, if he would come and wash me and be the Lord again of my life. Just lift your hand in the presence of the Lord if that's you. You'd say, that's me, Pastor Matt. Thank you. Is there anyone else? You'd say, that's me. Raise it nice and high so I could see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands are going up all over. Thank you. Say, that's me. I need to get back in the game. I need to get back in. Thank you. Thank you. Hands that are nice, raised nice and high. Okay, for those of you who raise your hand, I'm going to have you do it. We're going to do something right now that... that is very important. We're going to have our brothers, for those who raise your hand, they're going to come around you right now. So open your eyes, turn to someone who's got their hand raised, and I want you to put a hand on the shoulder. Come on, guys, surround them. And once you have brothers around you, you can put your hand down so we get everybody. Come on, if your hand's raised, go ahead and surround them. We've got brothers here in the middle. We got some men over here on the left-hand side. Okay, come on, the rest of us, let's stretch our hands out towards them. Hold those altar packets for a minute. This is a little bit different, but stretch your hands out towards them. And all I want you to do is I want you to begin to pray for them. Say, God, encourage them today. Begin to pray and say, God, would you be the Lord of their heart? Just encourage them. The Lord, I think, is going to lead you to speak a blessing over them. Say, God, just begin to say, God, would you wash over them with your love? God, would they be strengthened? Begin to say, God, get them back in the fight. Begin to say, Lord, would you wash them with your blood, Jesus? Begin to pray for them. Say, God, encourage my brother today to get back in the fight. God, they're coming to you. Father, we thank you for our brothers today. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that they're coming running back to you today. Lord, regardless of where they stepped away, regardless of where they stepped back, regardless of the reason, we plead the blood of Jesus over their lives today. God, we thank you for your blood. Thank you for washing them today. God, regardless of what failure, discouragement, or pressure circumstances, Lord, we pray that you would be the Lord of their heart and the Lord of their circumstance, the Lord of their families, oh God. Father, we resist every lie of the enemy. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the spirit of life, the spirit of liberty, and the spirit of freedom in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you for our brothers, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's put our hands together for our brothers. Let's praise God for them. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray for one more thing, and then we're going to be on our way. Can you put the last verse up back up on the screen for a second? Simon, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. Some of us here maybe have not been seen the model of what spiritual strengthening looks like. But it's very simply, when you see a brother in need, you move out of where you're at. You move off your agenda. You move off of what your plan was. And you go to them and you say, can I encourage you? And I want to strengthen you. And I want to pray. Can I pray for you? And even people who don't even know the Lord, you want to know one of the greatest ways to lead people to Jesus is when you see them down and you go up to them and you just say very simply, hey, bro, can I pray for you? They may look at you crazy. It's like, I know you're having a hard time, but I serve Jesus Christ and I can pray for you. And can I pray for you? And you do that. And I'm telling you, miracles will start to happen. Miracles will start to take place. Come on, let's praise God for the miracles that are going to happen. Hallelujah. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray, God, give us a new, everyone say new, a new strength to fight for our brothers. That's what I want us to pray. God, give us a new strength to fight for our brothers. So here's what I want you to do. This is God's house, and we're going to pray a little bit more. I want you to find four guys, okay? Four guys, and I want you to turn. Some of them might be at your table. A lot of your tables have six or seven, but I want you to please break up. Why? Because I want everyone to be prayed for. So real quickly, go ahead. Break up into groups of four real quickly. Make sure it's four and not like 24, okay? Groups of four. Groups of four. If you don't know the names of the guys in your group, feel free to ask them their name. so that everybody in the group can be prayed for. God, give us a new strength to fight. A new strength to fight. A new strength to fight for our brothers. Pray out loud so that they can hear you and be encouraged. Lift your voice for your brothers so they can be built up. This is a moment of strengthening. You have no idea what they're going through. Practice strengthening your brother right now.
God, blessed be your name, oh God. Thank you, God, Lord Jesus, that you're among us now. Thank you, God, Lord Jesus, that you're here, oh God, Lord Jesus. And as we go out of this place, oh God, Lord Jesus, and as we face challenges, oh God, Lord, we know, oh God, Lord, that you are with us, oh God. Lord Jesus, you will never forsake us. You will never leave us, oh God. And thank you, oh God, Lord Jesus, that as we face these challenges, oh God, Lord, I pray for faith, oh God. Lord, I pray for courage, oh God. Lord, I pray, oh God, Lord, for a wisdom, oh God, Lord, as we face challenges in our home, oh God. Lord, as we face challenges at work, oh God, Lord Jesus, that you give us the courage, oh God, Lord, to push back against the kingdom of darkness. Oh God, Lord Jesus, that you would, oh God, help us to build each other up, oh God, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to sharpen each other, oh God. Oh God, Lord, would we see past, oh God, Lord, the things that are in front of us, oh God, but see the plan that you have for us, oh God. Thank you, oh God, Lord Jesus, that as we go from this place, we know that you are with us. You will never leave us, oh God. And Father, we thank you, oh God, Lord Jesus, for all that you're doing in our hearts, oh God, Lord, all that you're doing with our brothers, oh God. Lord, I pray, oh God, Lord Jesus, for such a courage, oh God, Lord, for such a boldness, oh God, Lord Jesus, for such a wisdom, such a discernment, oh God. Lord, we love you. We thank you, oh God, Lord. We thank you for this time that we are able to spend in your house, oh God. Lord, we pray, oh God, Lord Jesus, that you would be with us, Lord. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's praise God. Hallelujah.